John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just in case you don't know this, anytime you see the word Word with a capital W, it's another name for Jesus. And how do we know that? Look at verse 14. We'll come right back. It says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw or beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. So here's the Son of God, the begotten of the Father, Jesus, and His name is the Word. So it's another name for Jesus. So again, verse 1, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Thank you. You can be seated. In Him was life, is what John says. Now, when you hear the word life, what goes through your mind? Probably for a set of new parents, they think about their newborn baby and how life is beautiful and amazing, and they watch every little movement of the fingers and toes and the little smiles. And so life is just wonderful because they have that newborn baby. But then that baby has a dirty diaper, and the baby cries all night. And instead of life being wonderful, life becomes terrible. And life is something that we have different perspectives of. Now, for a philosopher, they might say life is like a mirror. If you frown at it, it will frown back at you. If you smile at it, it will smile back at you. Philosopher's opinion of life. For a teenage girl, life is about mirrors, so they can fix their makeup, and they can catch a man. So for a teenage girl, life would be about mirrors, makeup, and men. Now for a teenage boy, life would be like about games, guns, grit, and something else that starts with a G. What would that be? No, maybe a goat. Some guys like to have a goat in their backyard. Now, obviously, we have different things that we think of when it comes to life. Now, we're usually thinking, how can we have a good life and how can we have the best life? Now, John is writing about life. He says, in Him is life. Now, there are over 80 references to life in John's writings. And John knows about life. And here's what John concludes. In a little phrase, he says a lot. In verse 4, he says, in Him is life. Now think about that phrase. Think about what he means. Think about the hugeness of that small little phrase. In Him was life. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to make sure that you're thinking, and I know that my daughter's not. No, I'm kidding. I'd like to make sure that you're thinking, so let me just go ahead and ask you to say that back. In Him was life. So let's all say that. In. All right, now, when we get that little phrase, we can say it and we can just let it go in and out and not think of the bigness of it. And here's what John is saying. In Jesus is life, period. Without Him, there's no life at all. And there are four aspects of our lives that are directly tied to Jesus that if we don't get tied to Jesus, we may not experience life to the fullest. Now, the first one we're all experiencing, and that is the existence of life. Now, we might not experience everything that we could through Jesus, but we all have at least experienced this part. Now, notice verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was there in the beginning. Now, where do you hear those words, in the beginning, in the Bible? Genesis 1:1. Let's quote that one. In the beginning, God created the... Okay, so God, at the very beginning, made everything. And we don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in it, and I don't think anybody who is really looking at it honestly could believe in it. There was a cold cloud, it spun around the sun and got hot. It formed masses of matter into an outside ring, is what they say. And then it picked up speed, And then it went faster and faster, faster and faster, faster and faster, and broke apart and was flung in space in form of huge planets. Basically, there was a big bang. And out of that came butterflies. Out of that came birds. Out of that came the blue sky and the green grass and the change of leaves at autumn. Now, out of an explosion, you don't get order and beauty. Now, in the beginning, at the creation of all things, God created the heavens, the earth, Genesis 1:1. And here in John chapter 1, in the beginning, at the creation of all things, was Jesus. And what that points out to us is, some cults will teach that Jesus is a created being, but he's not a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he is a God, but he is not a God. The Bible teaches he is the creator God. And by him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made. Nothing. Now, here's why I bring this up. Some people don't want anything to do with Jesus, but we all have something to do with Jesus. We all at least have this much to do with him. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not even be here. He is our creator. Do you follow me on that? Now, somebody says, well, Jesus might be your thing, but he's just not my thing. All right, think with me. You've got something to do with Jesus, whether you want it to or not, because he's the one who brought you into existence. Now, it says, he was the light that lighteth all men, the true light which lighteth all men, every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9. Now, what that is talking about, I believe, in the context of God creating the world is this. You are brought to life. You are brought into existence. Light. You are lit. You are ignited. You are brought into existence through the power of Jesus himself. And there's never been a baby ever been born that Jesus wasn't behind that birth. Now, somebody says, well, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Well, you have something to do with him because he made you. And then it goes down and it says, and by him all things consist. And you know what that means? In him we live, we dwell, and have our being. What does that mean? As the Bible says that. That means he sends the rain. He makes the food to grow. He makes your heart pump. He makes life exist and continue. And here's what that means. He not only gave us life, he's the one who keeps us going. Now, don't get bored. Don't get bored. Think about the bigness of this thing. And think about how it applies to you. I would guess that 99% of the people here, I would say, I better be honest, I would guess that 95% of the people here are excited about Jesus. Maybe not everything we should be, but are excited about Jesus. I would guess that maybe 5% would not be so excited about Jesus. But let me just speak to you for the 5%. If you don't want anything to do with Jesus, you're not excited about Jesus, think about this. If I wanted to kill you, I would be your enemy. But if I was working to keep you alive every day, I would be your what? Friend. And God is not your enemy. He is the one who gave you life, and he's the one who keeps you going. Now, as we look about Jesus, in him is life, first is the existence of life. But then, John goes on to another aspect of life that is directly tied to Jesus, and that is the enjoyment of life. The enjoyment of life. I turn back to John chapter 1, and I want you to see what he says about Jesus. Now, as before we read this, there are some people that think that Christians go around pretending to be happy. And guess what? A lot of Christians go around pretending to be happy, and they're not. Now, when a Christian is not happy, is it because Christianity doesn't work? No. It's because that Christian is not walking in close fellowship with Jesus Christ. There's never been a person who genuinely got connected to Jesus and stayed connected to Jesus that was an unhappy person. Now, there are trials that do come that naturally are sad, naturally bring grief. But there's never been a Christian who is connected to Jesus who doesn't, even in the midst of grief, continue just fine. Because there's something about Jesus, as sure as the law of gravity, when people get saved and they stay in fellowship with God, Jesus makes sure that they get the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and what? Peace. Now, in this, I want you to see John's reference to this idea that in Jesus is the enjoyment of life. All right, he says, and you see what he's saying here, in verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Now, what does light do? Anybody can tell me, what does light do? It what? It illuminates things. It brightens them, right? And that's what Jesus does. He illuminates and he brightens our life. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Now, he can brighten things. Now, I think about how people are looking for happiness, and we talk about life, and everybody's wanting to have a good one, obviously. But as we look at this thing, people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They think that if they get into a drug, heroin is very big right now, that's going to make them happy, or that's going to help them get rid of their problems. Some people think that if they just get some more stuff, that'll make them happy. But then you see millionaires that aren't happy. And you know all of this has been preached before. But the fact is, even we need to understand, it really is true. In Jesus is life, happiness, light, brightness. Now, people are looking for happiness, and you are too. I'm going to ask you to fill in this blank. I would be happier if blank. All right, what would you put in there? Somebody would put, I would be happier if she would finally say yes to me and marry me. Somebody would say, I would be happier, yes, if he would die. Somebody else would say, I would be happier if I only got a dollar an hour raise. And somebody else would say, I would be happier if I just got my health back. And somebody else would say, I'd be happier if my family problem would go away. Now, I understand all of these things, but I will tell us again, if we put anything in the blank besides, I'd be happier if, get this, I'd be happier if I get a closer walk with Jesus than I presently have, then we're going to really miss what will give substance to our life, what will really make us happy. Now, I was in a pizza parlor, and I heard a couple teenagers talking about what they were going to do that night, and one of them said, we're going to go to a tea party, and that was a marijuana party. And as they described the marijuana party, they said, it's so great, you've got to come. Everybody's like staring at the wall. Everybody's like out of their mind. And they said, you've got to come, it's so great. Everybody's like throwing up all over the place. You've got to come. And I thought, if that's the criteria for a good time, staring at the wall, out of your mind, throwing up all over the place, the last time I had the flu, I would have been excited. Now, when we look at happiness, it's like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And I'm telling you that if you get things right with Jesus, or if you stay in a relationship with Jesus, you will be fine and you will enjoy your life. It will be a life of light, not darkness. Now, the word darkness is the word scotia. Scotia means figurative or literal darkness. Now, there are times when our minds just get thinking wrong, and so we get discouraged and depressed. It is true that a person can get depressed because of there being chemical imbalances, and I understand that. But listen, folks, a lot of depression is there just because people's thinking is wrong. And if the thinking would be on something you know to be true about Jesus, you would get out of that depression a lot quicker than just by taking a pill. There are times when you might have to take some medical help. I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm telling you, most of the time when people are not happy, it has to do with their tie to Jesus or their distance from Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, my brother went through a very difficult time. And this was a literal darkness, a literal difficult time. He was told that he had cancer and that he would have less than 2 years or 3 years to live. Now, when I heard about that, I went to him and I said, "This is terrible." And my brother, who at the time was probably in his 40s, said, "What's so bad about this? Someone in our family has to go to heaven first. Might as well be me." Now, there was some literal darkness there, but then there was a truth about Jesus that brightened it. Am I right? Now, you may have some literal darkness. You may have some sickness. You may have loneliness. You might have something going on. But there's a truth about Christ that'll brighten that dark situation every time. Now, even this situation with this poor girl, it can be brightened when you understand the truth that she had accepted Jesus Christ. It can be brightened when you understand the truth that God is the comforter and that he's going to go ahead and take these dear people as parents and grandparents through. And it can be brightened when you look at all things work together for good to them that love God. And there's some darkness that we have, whatever it is, there's some truth about Jesus that'll brighten that darkness. Now, sometimes darkness can be figurative. In other words, it's just in your mind. Like, nobody loves me. Well, you can get that taken care of pretty quick. Jesus loves me. Well, this will never work out. It'll never get better. You can get that taken care of real quickly. With God works all things together for good, so it will get better. Well, this need will never get met. Well, you can brighten that real fast with, "My God shall supply all your need." And whatever your darkness is, there's some truth about Christ that'll brighten that darkness if you stay in a relationship with him. Now, there are girls that I meet on occasion that are so depressed that they're cutting themselves. I had a girl last week, as a matter of fact. She told me, "I'm going to go back and just cut myself." She told me that last week, and she was kidding. She said, "I feel like cutting myself." And that's not a joking matter to me. You know why? Because there are girls that I've met who have cut themselves, and for some reason they cut themselves, and they get some adrenaline rush, and that rush kind of gets them through their problems. And I think that it goes back to when the maniac of Gadara was walking through the graves, and he was in the Bible days, and he was cutting himself with sharp rocks and stones. And I think those who are cutters, that type of activity is always tied to demonic activity. And it's not of God, and it's not going to help if you would be in that thing or know someone who is. But I think of a couple of girls. I think of one who came to me, and she said, "Everything was falling apart, so I did the only thing I knew to do. I went to my blade." That's depression. And another girl said, this happened, so I went to my blade and I began to cut myself on my legs and my arms and I couldn't stop bleeding and I was afraid, but it's the only thing I knew to do. Well, both of these girls, I was able to take them to truth about Jesus so that they quit cutting themselves and now they're both happy. One girl wrote me not too long ago and she said, "I'm going to have my second child and I want you to see him." And she was a cutter probably 10 years ago, and now she's been delivered, and she wrote me a letter, and she says, "I no longer cut myself, I'm no longer depressed, I'm now happy, and I have you to thank for it." But really what it is she has Christ to thank for it. Now, whatever your darkness is, you don't need to be in darkness and depression, and I know that it may sound too simple, but it's true. Watch me for just a moment. This might seem a little strange, but I throw up my glasses, hopefully I catch them. I better do something that I know I can catch. I throw up the book, and it's going to come down. Watch this. It happened again. Watch this. It happened again. If I did it 100 times, it would happen again. Why? It's the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And I'm telling you, 100% of 100 times, if a person really gives their life to Jesus and they really walk with Jesus, it's like the law of gravity. You come down with happiness. It just happens, and it's not a gimmick. Now, here's what Jesus teaches about life. turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And here's why we need him. Now, in the Sunday school hour, I talked a little bit about, we need to look at not what we're supposed to do for Jesus, but the one that we're doing it for. And sometimes we need to look at who God is. So we get excited about God again. And if we can understand what we get in Jesus, we'll want to serve him more and be connected to him more. Now, if you young people are looking to things to make you happy, there are things that you can enjoy. You can enjoy skateboarding, but it's got its limitations. You can't skateboard in Walmart. If you ladies are looking for shopping to make you happy, that's great, but it's got its limitations. What happens when the stores are closed at 9 p.m.? What'll keep you happy at 9:05 p.m.? If you're looking to health to make you happy, activities, what happens if you lose your health? And you need, and I need, something to keep us happy. And here's John 10. Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, a better life. John 15. Flip over to John 15. Jesus will not ruin a life. He'll make it better. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's like saying, I don't want anything to do with life. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's like saying, I don't want anything to do with happiness, because that's exactly where you get your happiness. All right, John 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. It's in red ink. Jesus is saying it. That my joy might remain in you. In other words, you could lose it if you don't stay abiding in fellowship with me in John 15. So he wrote it that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I look at John 16, verse 24. John 16, 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then two more verses. Look at John 17 and verse 13. John 17 and verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And then look at 1 John 1. This is another writing of John, but it's 1 John, not St. John. But 1 John 1 and verse 4. And these things write we unto you, 1 John 1, 4. What things? The book of 1 John. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. And here's what John says over and over and over. If you want to find full joy, you are going to have to find it in Jesus Christ. And there are many Christians, including I've done it before, that we pretend to be happy when we're not. And you know why we're not happy? Because we're talking about Jesus, but we're not in fellowship with Jesus. And that's the only way to keep joy and to have it in our lives. Now, yes, you tell me something about your darkness, I'll tell you something about Jesus that'll brighten it. And what darkness are you going through right now? Jesus will brighten it. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In other words, you go into a dark room, and you turn on the light switch, and that light comes out and illuminates, like you said, and brightens that room. The darkness is gone. And whatever you are thinking that you're discouraged about, if you get your relationship with Christ where it needs to be, that darkness will be gone. He'll brighten your life and you'll be happy again. All right, now number one, in him is the existence of life. Number two is the enjoyment of life. Number three, I wondered if I should say this, but I think I will. Let's go ahead and turn back to John chapter 10 and verse 10, okay? John chapter 10 and verse 10. In him is the extension of life. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, if Jesus is the good shepherd, who is the thief that he's talking about in the passage? The devil. So the devil is the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give life and that he may give it more abundantly. Now think about this. I don't want to make just a negative application. I want to make a good application. But the fact is there's a devil and he's trying to steal life. Now my father committed suicide when I was a six-year-old boy. Was that God's plan? Do you think the devil might have been behind that one? I do. It's never the will of God for somebody to choose to sin. And so when my father committed suicide, my mother said, this is not the time to get bitter at God. This is the time that we need God. And somebody says, well, if God's so good, why did he let your dad commit suicide? And my response is, my dad didn't kill himself because God's not good and God's not real. My dad killed himself because sin is real too. And God never wanted that tragedy to ever take place. But something from the devil got in my dad's head, and my dad did something that was too permanent of a solution for a temporary problem. And the one who was behind all of that was the devil. Now, what would have happened, even in the situation that is experienced this week, if Jesus had been listened to, there would have never been people treating her unkindly. Life would still be there. If the devil hadn't influenced those normally good children, who we could be influenced just as much, right? To do something we shouldn't do, then that girl would possibly and probably still be alive today. And the devil was behind it all. Now, if she, this dear young girl, had been looking to principles about Jesus at this time, if my father had been looking to principles about Jesus, I think there could have been something to brighten that. But the devil fogs the mind. And the enemy is not God. The enemy is the devil. Now, there are many people that would be alive today if they'd come to Jesus instead of gone the way of Satan's influence. Now, is this worth saying? The devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life. I think about people that wouldn't be alive today if they had just gone the way with God instead of the way of the devil. Illustrations are everywhere. There was one entertainer who was performing on stage. He was a Brazilian bisexual comedian. And while he was on stage and performing, he took his cigar, took a big puff, and blew the smoke in the air. First, he said, God, this one's for you. And he blows the smoke in God's face. That entertainer died at the age of 32 from lung cancer. Now, I wonder if that young comedian would still be alive today if he hadn't blown smoke in God's face. Now, I think about Marilyn Monroe shortly before she died. Evidently, Billy Graham was said to have wanted to visit her, and he went to visit her, and he said, Marilyn Monroe, God burdened me to tell you, you need to accept Jesus Christ. And after a short conversation, she was said to have responded, I don't need your Jesus. And within 2 weeks, she died from an overdose. And I wonder if Marilyn would have been alive today had she decided she wanted Jesus. And I think about Bon Scott from AC/DC. He's the one who did Highway to Hell. And he said, I'm on the highway to hell. Don't stop me. I'm on the highway to hell. And do you know how he died? I was 13 years old. He was in a London club. He went in and he got intoxicated and he passed out. So some of his friends took him out to some Porsche or Lamborghini, stuck him in the back of that fancy sports car and figured that he'd just sleep it off. And then they went back and parted the night away. And then we came back out. Bon Scott had died. He had vomited His head was back when he vomited, so the vomit went into his nostrils and into his throat, and he choked to death on his own vomit, and he couldn't breathe. Isn't sin glamorous? And that's what happens when people drink. They vomit, and there's nothing glamorous about that. Now, if he had not done that, I believe I'm accurate that Bon Scott could have been 73 years old today. Now, are there people that are living to be 73 and older all over the place? They're in this place today. And I'm telling you that with Jesus is often the extension of life. And I say that for this reason. If you're somebody here today and you're not doing what Jesus wants, you may not consider this to be the case, but it really is a matter of life and death. Now follow me. Look up here. Listen, does Jesus want you smoking cigarettes? Yes or no? Does Jesus want you drinking beer? Yes or no? And does Jesus want you chewing tobacco? And I think that it's very clear that people chew, they get mouth cancer. People smoke, they get lung cancer. People drink, they wind up with the liver problems. And they wind up sometimes with death prematurely because in their drunken stupor, they do dumb things. And I'm telling you, there may be somebody here today that you may think of this as just a sermon, but I've been to funerals of people that didn't listen to my preaching. And it's not my preaching, it's God's word. And you will be one if you're not careful, who because you walk away from Jesus, you end up with a shorter life than you would have normally had. Now, in him is life. Number one, the existence of life. Now, somebody says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's because I have Alzheimer's. No, I'm kidding. I'm repeating myself because I'm trying to drive home a very important truth, folks. If you're saying, I think there are 95% that want something to do with Jesus, but if there are 5% of you that don't want anything to do with Jesus, I want to help you 5%. Listen to me. If you're saying, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, think about this. That's like, it's not my thing, think about this. That's like saying, air is not my thing. Air better be your thing or you're not going to live. Am I right? Number two, that's like, in him is the enjoyment of life. If you want to be happy, you're going to have to get a relationship going with Christ. In him is the extension of life. But then, don't forget this one that's most important. Turn in your Bibles to John 14. John 14. Verse 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus is saying. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's heaven, his Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am in heaven, there ye may be also. Does that sound like Jesus wants us in heaven? So, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm going to heaven, and you do know how to get there, don't you? You know how to get there, right? And Thomas answers him. Verse 5. Thomas saith to them, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where heaven is. And how can we know the way? We don't know how to get there. How do we get there? And Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's that word life again. Talking about everlasting life this time. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to my Father's mansion. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. But by me. Now, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know? When I was a kid, we used to use that phrase, it's not what you know, who you know, the wrong way. There would be somebody in my class that I was competing against, and I would do cursive writing. Anybody remember when they used to teach kids to do cursive writing? Now they teach them Nothing. Except, I know there's some intelligent kids here, but it's crazy what they're doing. But anyway, back to when we were doing cursive writing, they told us if you have the best handwriting, you're going to get a star on your paper. And you're going to get your name, your paper on the bulletin board. And so my goal in life was to get a star on my paper and to get my name on the bulletin board. But did I ever get my name on the bulletin board? No. Why? Jennifer Biggerstaff. Teacher's pet. Jerk. She was teacher's favorite. And so she always got her name on the bulletin board and her paper. And I always thought, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Of all the basketball players I've ever met in my life in the world, I'm probably the top 10 in the world in my mind. But for some reason, I was always the sixth man, and I never was on the starting five, but only a couple of games. Why? Chuck Burrows was the starting five. Chuck Burrows had my spot, and I was a better athlete than Chuck in my mind, and the only reason he was playing, he was in good with the coach. He knew the coach longer than I knew him. That's what I was thinking. But really, he was a better athlete. But in my mind, I was thinking, jerk. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But there are times when that thing comes in well. For instance, I had a private tour, a small group tour of the White House. I got to go to places most people don't get to go to. And do you know why? It's not because of who I am, it's because of who I met. One of the men in my meeting was in charge of guarding the Vice President of the United States home. He said, how would you like to have a special tour of the White House? I love it. So we got to go places most people don't get to go. How many of you have ever gotten to have a private tour of the White House? That's quite a big thing. It's not what you know, it's who you know. How many of you have ever been in the White House's Oval Office and sat across the desk from the President of the United States, just you and him, with 30 minutes of uninterrupted conversation, just you and the President of the United States? Neither have I. But if that would ever happen, it would never be because I'm an important person. It would have to be because of who I know. Now, all kidding aside, I hope you're getting the idea here. Jesus said something that we need to get. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And here's what that means. If you say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, that's like saying, I don't want anything to do with air, because without him, you wouldn't have air. That's like saying, I don't want anything to do with being happy, because without him, you're not going to be happy. But most importantly, that's like saying, look at me. I don't want anything to do with going to heaven. I want to go to hell. Because without Jesus, you will go to hell. And you need Jesus. Because in him is life. Now, with this in closing, some people think Jesus is kind of like a lifestyle. Like homosexuality is a lifestyle. Jesus is like a lifestyle, like maybe some people are environmentalists and they just want that lifestyle. Have you hugged your tree today? People think of Jesus as a lifestyle, and then atheism is a lifestyle. Well, I don't want to believe in God, and this is my style and my choice for life. Hear me. It's not an option. You either choose Jesus or you choose death. You don't choose life, because in him is life, period. And this is not a lifestyle, this is the only hope of life, period. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would like to ask you, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I may not be everything I should be, but I do know that I have eternal life. I have accepted Jesus Christ. And I have no doubt if I were to die, he'll take me into heaven because I have Jesus and he's the way to eternal life. If you do know that, would you just slip up that hand if you're sure of that? If not, don't you be embarrassed. Don't be a liar, but don't be embarrassed. I appreciate honesty. I know I'm going to heaven. Hold it up just a moment. Helps me see the need. All right, great. Good, good. Thank you. Now, I saw some who did not have your hand raised, so let me ask you this. Is there anybody who would say, as the piano softly plays, I don't even know that I'm going to heaven. You talk about happiness in life, brightness instead of darkness, enjoyment instead of misery. I don't even know that I'm going to heaven. And if you would say, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know I'm going to heaven, your answer is Jesus Christ. Now, who here would say, I may not understand it all, but I don't know I'm going to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. I want help. Would you pray for me? Now, I won't embarrass you or call your name. I'll just pray for you. Is there anyone like that, or are there some like that? If so, would you just be kind enough to slip up a hand? I'll see it. You put it right back down, and I'll include you in a prayer. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know I'm going there. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, we'd love to help you. Just slip up that hand and put it right back down. Anybody? Now, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, listen to me, you probably aren't. Now, you could have doubts of salvation, but it's so important that you settle that. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you probably aren't. And we want to help you. So think about that. Now, God's Word speaks about the brightness of life. You show me something about your darkness, I'll show you something about Jesus that can brighten it. And is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, I needed that because I am going through some darkness or I'm sad over something, and I'm just going to look at some truth about Christ and relate it to the situation, it'll brighten it. Just say, pray for me, Brother Mike. I needed that. I'm going through darkness, and I want to look at truth about Christ. That'll brighten it. And that's what I'm going to choose to do. God bless you there, friend. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. Good. God bless you over there. What do you know about Christ that'll brighten that darkness? It real every time. Every time. Now, one other question, and we'll have an invitation. Is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, there is some sin in my life, and what you're saying is right. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus comes to give life. And you'd say, there's some sin in my life that if I don't get that out and follow Jesus in this thing, it could lead to shortening my life. Now, there are many people that have vices, but those things are deadly. And if you will come to Christ, He'll set you free. And you need to. And it may actually extend your life. Is there anybody like that who would say, Brother Mike, I get the message and I needed it, and there's something in my life I shouldn't be doing, and I'm going to ask God to help me to get free from this before it shortens my life. There's sin that I need to deal with. If that's you, would you slip up your hand if you want prayer and put it right back down? It may be a cigarette thing. It may be something else. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you there. It really will make a difference. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of the ways of death. But Jesus said, I'm come to give you life, not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's Satan doing that. So come to Christ who sets you free and give you perhaps even an extension of life in return. Father, I pray that we'll understand the truth of the message today. And I pray, Lord, for these many who've raised their hand. I don't know if it's a cigarette. I don't know if it's a glass of wine or a can of beer. I don't know if it's chewing tobacco or whatever it might be. But these are sins, drugs. These are sins that put people in an early grave. And we pray, Lord, that you deliver many in this county and some in this building today. And then, Lord, that you help these who are going through difficulties that they'd understand a truth about Jesus that'll brighten that darkness. And then, Lord, for these two or three I noticed that didn't have their hand raised saying they know they're going to heaven, I pray, Lord, they'd understand. If they don't know they're going to heaven, they probably aren't. And that they need an answer. And it's Jesus.